From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. It was the height of irony that at a global conference combating climate change, Donald Trump's administration decided to promote the very energy source that fuels climate change. This week at the United Nations COP23 meeting in Bonn, Germany, the White House audaciously sponsored a panel promoting coal, natural gas, and nuclear power. Climate justice activists, including those from the United States, protested the panel, calling out the fallacies of clean coal and chanting and singing. Meanwhile, California Governor Jerry Brown, who sees himself as part of the movement combating climate change, was also confronted by protesters. Governor Brown has been promoting his state's cap-and-trade program as a means of addressing climate change. But when activists at COP23 yelled their slogan of "Keep it in the ground" in reference to fossil fuels, Brown shockingly responded, "Let's put you in the ground." My guests are Isabella Zizi and Danielle Ilario. They're with Idle No More San Francisco Bay, joining me from Bonn, Germany. Welcome to the program, Isabella and Danielle.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Hey, thank you.
So let's start with the White House panel first. I mean, it just seemed like it was something you might see in The Onion, a sort of satirical headline that the White House was sponsoring a panel promoting fossil fuels at a global conference on climate change, which is caused by fossil fuels. Isabella, I'd like to start with you. Tell us exactly what it was that the White House put on. Who were the panelists and what did you do? What did you and other activists do?
So I just want to introduce myself just real quick. I'm Isabella Zizi. I come from the Northern Cheyenne, Arikara, and Muscogee Creek tribes. Daniel and I are both part of the Indigenous Environmental Network delegation that's under It Takes Roots. Delegation that's here in Bonn, Germany, that's also in alignment with the grassroots.
Global Grassroots Justice Alliance, and the CGA, the Climate Justice Alliance, IEN, Indigenous Environmental Network, and RTC, which is the Right to the City.
So on Monday, November 13th, there was the U.S. press conference that was going on. Unfortunately, I don't know who the exact representatives were. They're pretty much representatives that don't have a high name on them. So I was only on the outside. While there is a delegation called Sustain Us, that's a youth delegation that was inside at that moment. They filled the whole entire seats along with the press, and within about like 10 minutes, maybe even less, they stood up and they start singing this really powerful song that really is putting them on blast when it came to them promoting the coal, the gas, and the fracking and nukes. And afterwards, there's about 40 of them in that delegation, and almost more than half decided to stand up with them, and then they all walked out. So pretty much the ones who stayed were a few of the press. And when they were coming outside, they were still singing. And that's when It Takes Roots delegation and IEN had met them right outside, inside of a bigger area where hundreds of people showed up immediately after they just heard this big, you know, parade of people singing and chanting. And, you know, it just sort of went on there. We just had a on-the-spot press conference right outside from U.S. representatives, indigenous representatives from North and South America that really just told the solid truth about what we have to deal with on the front lines in our own impacted communities when it comes to nuclear waste, fracking, and coal.
And just the panelists, according to the press, included White House energy aide George David Banks, Amos Hochstein, senior vice president of the liquefied natural gas company Tellurian, Holly Kurtka, vice president of coal generation and emissions technologies at Peabody Energy, and Lenka Kolar, director of business strategy at the nuclear company NuScale Power. So it's interesting. Did these folks, who are clearly really representatives, corporate representatives and corporate pro-corporate representatives of the fossil fuel industry. Daniel, did they try to sell these fuels as climate friendly? I mean, just amazing that they might try to do that, but is that what they were trying to do, that natural gas is a transitional energy, that coal can be clean, that nuclear power is fossil fuel free?
Yeah, they were pushing the idea that we have newer technology that could clean up coal to a point where it would be having acceptable levels of emission. And we know that coal is dirty and nuclear is never safe, because once you create that waste is with us for maybe 100,000 years.
And doesn't nuclear energy also use fossil fuels to, you know, because it's such a high energy process?
It takes energy to make it and it takes energy to store it. And also during that storage, there's countless times where they've leaked into water systems. So this is not clean energy. This is probably one of the dirtiest types of energy you can use.
Now, what's really interesting is that it was U.S. activists who confronted the White House-sponsored panel. Were there other activists as well? Give me a sense of what that White House panel protest was like. Was it activists from all over the world that joined you? Was it primarily a U.S. activist, confronting the U.S. representatives of fossil fuels?
Yeah, it was mainly the U.S. representatives that were there, but we actually made some really good friends while we were prepping for this action. So it actually started in three different ways. And so before the U.S. had their panel, It Takes Roots delegation, IEN, decided to have this march around the center of the bond zone room. And what we did was we put indigenous voices first. We let them know, you know, hey, we are still here. We had a big sign that says we are still here. We had a sign that says no coal. We had a big banner from Leona Morgan, who's Dene. She deals with a lot of nuclear plants and waste in her territories. And so we had brought that as well. And we, you know, uplifted this issue, what's really going on. And that brought attention to many people from different areas. One person in particular actually is from France, and he was really excited to see that, you know, people are putting indigenous issues first and they're recognizing indigenous issues and the importance of, you know, the rights of Mother Earth. And, you know, there's people from Peru, from again in the Amazon, they were along with us, but We kept that at a strong U.S. representatives to let them know that, you know, although our administrative offices or governors are not, you know, standing for clean air, clean water, clean soil, and giving us those false solutions, we as people are showing that big impact of, you know, those on the front line, that these are huge issues that they're promoting.
And interestingly, the Fijian Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama was also commenting on this idea of clean coal. The whole meeting, COP23, although it's happening in Bonn, Germany, is being co-hosted by Fiji, one of many island nations that are directly threatened by rising sea levels and climate change. And he said, when asked about this idea of clean coal that these U.S. representatives are promoting, he said, I really don't want to get into an argument with the United States of America, but we all know what coal does, and we all know the effects of coal mining and coal. There really is no need to talk about coal because we all know what coal does with regard to climate change. So this is even, you know, the person who is part of the co-hosting of this entire meeting that criticized the U.S. bringing up coal as a clean energy. I want to transition to you, Daniel, about what happened than with Governor Jerry Brown, because one of the reasons these fossil fuel companies and the White House are able to, you know, promote these technologies as cleaner is because you've had liberal politicians like Barack Obama, who promoted natural gas and fracking as a transitional energy to promote climate combating technology, and Jerry Brown, who's also been a friend to fracking. that's been, I feel like, we should point out the reason why you can even get away with saying that these technologies are somehow clean. So tell me a little bit, Daniel, about what happened with Jerry Brown, who's being hailed as one of the leading U.S. politicians in the U.S., in contrast to Donald Trump, saying that we need to do something about the climate.
So we come from the Bay Area, where we have 5 refineries that constantly pollute and that are seeking to expand. So Jerry Brown's cap and trade extension, AB 398, allows these refineries to expand, and it restricts us from the ability to locally cap carbon until 2030. So the idea that Jerry Brown is some sort of climate hero is completely false. And people are saying that he is because he's against Trump, but the enemy of your enemy is not necessarily your friend.
And he acknowledges that climate change is a real thing, so we can give him that. But like Obama did, you know, there's plenty of politicians who acknowledge we need to do something about climate change and it's real, but they're not putting forward the solutions.
Yeah, they just let it play out, like Obama said during the Dakota Access Pipeline, right?
Right. So then what happened? So you and other activists were chanting "Keep it in the ground," which has become this slogan. It was popularized last year at the Standing Rock protests in North Dakota against the Dakota Access Pipeline, this idea that fossil fuels need to be kept in the ground. That's what you confronted Jerry Brown with. What did he say to you, Daniel?
So he responded to the, "How about we put you in the ground so we can get this show going, you know?" So that was a shock for me.
And actually, let's watch the video of Governor Jerry Brown at COP23, where he is confronted by protesters that include my guest, Daniel Ilario.
That's how we get stuff done. And we even have characters like this here to make it the dialectic of... Yeah, I wish we could have no pollution, but we have to have our automobiles in the ground. I agree with you, in the ground. Let's put you in the ground so we can get on with the show here. Anyway, this is very California. Thank you for bringing the diversity of dissent. Actually, that's very mild. Very mild here, so thank you. Yes, I am Governor Jerry Brown. What's your name? What's your name? Yeah? Well, thank you. I wish I could speak in rhythm, but I don't. Okay, good. Now let me put it in perspective, folks. If I could turn off the oil today, 32 million vehicles would stop and 10 million jobs would be destroyed overnight. And that's not going to stop. Hey, you've got our plug here. Very good.
And that was Governor Jerry Brown of California at the COP23 meeting in Bonn, Germany, where during his speech, there was confronted by indigenous activists from all over the world, including the U.S., including my guest, Daniel Ilario. And you can see the way in which he responded to them.
We're out here just to protect the water, to protect the air, so we have a chance at having a next generation, because right now that's not certain. I'm not coming at Jerry Brown in any sort of violent way. I don't even hate him as a person. You know, I love him. I want his family to be able to continue as well. But for him to respond like that, it's sad, you know, because, yeah, it's very sad.
Let's actually watch a short video of activists at the event that Jerry Brown was at. Many, many activists at COP23. Countering the claims, not just by White House-sponsored representatives, but even California Governor Jerry Brown.
No sacrifice zone. No sacrifice zone. No sacrifice zone. No sacrifice zone. No sacrifice zone.
And that's just a taste of what the sights and sounds have been at COP23. It's not just the official delegates, it's the activists who have attended all the COP meetings and pushed country representatives to do better on the issue of climate change. Danielle, what was Jerry Brown promoting at that event? And is his idea of a cap and trade program where you basically allow polluters to pay to pollute, is it spreading and is the idea of it being promoted successfully?
I think the reason for that event was basically a cheerleading rally for still being in the Paris Agreement. And we counter that because although the Paris Agreement may have been good in some ways, a step in the right direction, they don't go far enough. They're not going to keep us below 1.5 degrees Celsius. And our Bay Area is going to continue to be polluted, you know? And to answer the question regarding cap and trade, the whole point he's being carried around the world as a climate hero is to push cap and trade for these industries, so that they can continue to expand extraction while using the excuse of, oh, we'll protect this forest here so I can burn more fuel, you know? And that to us is a false solution and a distraction from the real solution is we need to change the way we energize ourselves. We need to transition justly to a clean, regenerative economy.
Isabella, what do you want Americans here in the United States to get from what your actions are in COP23 in Bonn, Germany? We're not getting very much media coverage of the conference, and traditionally we don't in general, but when the U.S. signed the Paris Accord, it was probably the biggest news around climate internationally. Now it feels as though there's this sense of defeat in the United States under Trump. What would you want Americans to know about the progress that might still be getting made despite the fact that Jerry Brown is sort of selling false solutions?
Mm-hmm. So what I'd really like to mention is also, you know, when we were there, you know, outside on that stage, really showing that the U.S., in our perspective, you know, we were being really strong when it came to indigenous voices, multiracial people of color, when it comes to Asians, Blacks, Browns, Latinos, you know, we all came together at that moment and we uplifted ourselves as people of color, as people who live in impacted communities, frontline communities who are dealing with these issues on a day-to-day basis. And the really positive part about that is that, you know, there is a transition. And being part of this COP, there was a lot of conversation about that just transition. And the big thing is about just transition is making sure that we connect even deeper past that when it comes to the traditional knowledge, you know, our own original instructions, especially through indigenous knowledge, you know, reconnecting to the earth in such a way that, you know, she already provides us natural resources and that we can fully depend on her and that we no longer need to be taking this oil out the ground, the coal out the hole. You know, we just keep everything where it needs to stay. And it's important for, you know, all people from all different races and regions to understand that true connection that we as people need to remember the rights of nature, the rights of Mother Earth, and to, you know, think further past a simple dollar, think past that greed, and think about our lives. You know, we all need that clean air, clean water, and clean soil for that just transition, for a sustainable way of life, so that way we may continue to add generations after us. And well, so that's a really powerful thing that I've really learned out here.
I want to thank the two of you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you during the rest of the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Isabella Zizi and Danielle Ilario with Idle No More San Francisco Bay. And we've been discussing their actions at the COP23 meeting in Bonn, Germany. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.